never forget that we cannot buy, and this is what it's all about, that we cannot buy or earn our way to salvation. Amen? It's by faith alone. It's a free gift from the Father who loves us through His Son, Jesus Christ. It's a free gift. And I want to quote a letter today by Martin Luther's youngest son, Dr. Paul Luther, and he wrote this about his father. He said, "In the year 1544, my late dearest father, in the presence of us all, narrated the whole story of his journey to Rome. He acknowledged with great joy that in that city, through the Spirit of Jesus Christ, he had come into the knowledge of the truth of the everlasting gospel. And it happened this way. As he repeated his prayers on the Lateran staircase, the words of the prophet Habakkuk came suddenly to his mind. It said, 'The just shall live by faith,' or 'The just shall live by faith alone.'" Amen? And upon that, his prayer, he ceased his prayers and he returned home to Wittenberg and took this as the chief foundation of all of his doctrine. Amen? And then he would later say, "By faith alone, sola fide." Amen? And that's Latin for "by faith alone." And from that unlikely beginning, of course, came the Protestant church that we have today. And there would be a battle cry of sola fide, by faith alone. And Martin Luther would say, "By faith alone, not by works of the law. Faith alone, not by obedience or going to church all the time. Faith alone, not by human righteousness. Faith alone, not by baptism. Faith alone, not by good intentions. Faith alone, not by the sacraments. Faith alone, not by penance or almsgiving. Faith alone, plus nothing, minus nothing, leads us to salvation." Faith alone. Amen? And so it is. It's faith alone that's going to heal a sick woman and a young girl who has died in today's text. Amen? We have two stories here today. Two daughters who are in a desperate need for healing. And one of them has been sick for 12 years. The woman has been sick for 12 years. And the other one is only 12 years old and is dying. And so in first verse says, in verse 40, it says, Jesus had returned. So he's coming back across the Sea of Galilee again, okay? He's returned and a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. So Jesus goes from one side of the lake to the other. All the people are waiting for him. It says they were pressed up against him. They almost crushed him. Then there's this one important man that's pushing his way, fighting his way through the crowd to get Jesus' attention because his 12-year-old daughter is extremely ill and near death. It's his love for his daughter that's pushing him through this crowd. Amen? And it's his love for his daughter that's going to transform him from a man of stature to what you're going to see today. You see, he was a synagogue leader who would actually have been the caretaker and the pastor of their synagogue or their church in the city. So he was a respected and honored man in the community. And we have to remember that at this time, a lot of these synagogue leaders were against Jesus. Amen? They were against Jesus. So it was very unorthodox, if you will, for him to be begging Jesus for healing. Amen? But we, as we all know, right, in due season, even people who say they're non-believers, they start praying. Amen? And they start asking for prayer, right? We talk about that when we're at work, and the non-believers at work sometimes will say, "Can you pray for me, please?" Amen, right? Right? So when we're in desperate need and we're in dire straits, that's when we start, when a lot of people who say they're non-believers will start praying. Amen? And hopefully we plant some seeds along the way, right? Amen? But so at this point, this respected leader of the community, He's just a desperate beggar, right? He's a desperate beggar trying to help his young daughter. That's all that's on his mind right now. He's trying to help his young daughter. He's got nowhere else to turn, and he's at the feet of Jesus pleading with him, saying, I need you. I need you to heal my daughter, please. And I love this picture I found. That really, that's a perfect picture of him pleading. Amen. And you see, when we need Jesus in our lives, when we need healing in our lives, we kind of forget about everything else. When we're in that point of our life where we're that desperate, we kind of forget it. We forget about our status in the community, right? We forget about our status. We forget about our pride. And hopefully, we forget about our sins as well. Because Jesus Christ does. Amen. He forgives us of our sins. Amen. And because he does that, you know, when we repent and we lay at the feet of Jesus, we are forgiven and healed. We are forgiven and healed. And both spiritually and a lot of times physically. Amen. But not always. Not always. Sometimes Jesus will call us home. Sometimes Jesus will call us home where there is no more pain and there's no more sorrow and there's eternal joy. Eternal joy. The ultimate, right? The ultimate healing. Amen. So we can never say that Jesus didn't heal us. Amen. So Jesus agrees to go with this man to go see his daughter. And it says that the people were crushing him. Now put yourself in Jairus' place, okay? He's been waiting for Jesus. He's pacing up and down the coast waiting for him to come back. And he had no other alternatives. His young and only daughter was dying. And now if we knew that our little girl or our little boy was deathly ill and that Jesus was right there across the water, we would be doing the same thing, right? I think we'd probably be, I'd be swimming across the water, right? Or maybe renting a boat or something, right? Trying to get to him so he could heal my daughter. And but just like Jairus, you know, as soon as Jesus shows up, I don't think we would care how many people were in the way, right? We would be pushing our way to Jesus, asking him to heal our children. And yelling, right? Yelling loud enough for him to catch his attention, amen? And we're desperate, right? So not only does Jairus get to the feet of Jesus, but he gets him to follow him to his house that he may touch his little girl and heal her. Because he believes that Jesus can do this. So they're trying to make their way to the house, and the people are pressing in, and they're trying to get Jesus' attention as well. And it's quite the scene. It's a desperate scene. It's a dangerous scene. And it seems that Jairus is not the only desperate believing person in this crowd. He's not the only desperate person. Because in verse 43, it says that there was a woman there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. And, you know, in my King James Version, it says that a woman having an issue of blood for 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. So she had spent all of her money trying to be healed. So she was desperate. She's at the point. She has no answers either. So both of these people are desperate. Amen. And remember, Luke, who wrote this, he's a doctor. Amen. He's a doctor. So he's letting us know that the doctors tried, right? He's letting us know that the doctors had tried. They couldn't heal her. And that, you know, he's kind of setting this up for a miracle, right? So we're going to see that this is a miracle because there was no other alternatives here. And so in verse 44, and I love this picture. There she is. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. Immediately. Who touched me? Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. And once again, in the King James, it says, Jesus said, Who touched me? And when all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? So he's saying, what do you mean, who touched you? You got 100 people pressing up against you. What do you mean, who touched me, right? And in verse 46, Jesus said, Someone touched me. I know that power came out of me. And that's how he knew. That was the difference, right? Because this person's faith had drawn the power out of Jesus when she touched him. Amen? And in verse 47 it says, "Then the woman, seeing that she couldn't go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet." Right? She wanted to sneak in and out, but no. Came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him, and now she had been instantly healed. How she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Go in peace. What an incredible story of faith. Amen? Amen. So this woman who had an issue of blood spent all of her money trying to find a cure, and she was now in poverty. Okay? And we must also remember that not only was she uncurable, but because of the Jewish culture, she was unclean. She was considered unclean. And this meant that not only was she forced to live a life of isolation, but anyone or anything that came in contact with her was also unclean. So nobody wanted to be around her. Amen? And this is 12 years, right? Going on 12 years. So here she is in the middle of this crowd or this mob, okay, where no one wants to be around her, and she's working her way to Jesus. She doesn't care. She believes she's gonna get healing from touching Jesus' cloak. So she's not going to let anything stop her. She's taking a big chance, hoping she can sneak in and out of there. She's taking this big chance. And just as Jairus, she would do anything to reach Jesus because she had a desperate need for healing. But then, just as she had been healed from the touch, Jesus says, "Who touched me?" She thought she was going to sneak in there, get healed, and run out. Jesus says, "Who touched me?" And he calls her out. Amen? He calls her out and stops the whole procession, stops everybody, turns around and says, "Who touched me? I know somebody touched me in faith." This is just to say that as we approach Jesus, he notices when we approach him. He notices when we lay at his feet in faith. Jesus notices. And I also think that this speaks to being true to our faith without fear of persecution. Amen? She didn't care if she was around these people, if they were going to be mad at her, upset, you know, who knows? Maybe even try to kill her for making everyone unclean, being in the midst of them. She didn't care. Matthew 5:10 through 12 says that blessed are those who are persecuted because of their righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's what she knew. That's what she cared about. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and say all kinds of evil things against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Amen? Jesus is saying, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid of persecution. It's easy for us to say here, right? In America. Jesus was going to call her out. Jesus calls us out. Jesus calls us out of our sins, out of our pain, out of our sorrow. But are we trying to sneak in and out as well? Are we trying to sneak in and out of here on Sundays? Or are we taking that out to the streets? Are we Sunday Christians? Amen? And, you know, there's many people being persecuted for their faith in Jesus Christ today. Many people around the world being killed for their faith in Jesus Christ. We are so blessed here in the United States. And, you know, but those people being killed, they're not ashamed of the gospel. Just as she wasn't ashamed, they're not ashamed of the gospel. They believe in the Lord's eternal promise, which means so much more than any fear they have of being martyred. Amen? And so Jesus calls her out and says, "Who touched me with the hand of faith and withdrew the power from me?" And at that point, she realizes, I'm not going to be able to sneak out of here. I'm going to have to come clean, right? I'm not going to be able to sneak out or come clean, right? Come clean, get it? Yeah, I like that. All right. So, so verse 47 says that the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. in the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. I'd be telling everybody too, amen, right? She was unashamed, I love that, unashamed, grateful, and healed. Amen. She had also, she expected to be rebuked, amen? She expected to be rebuked for being unclean in the midst of this crowd. And Jesus tells her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Talk about just cleaning everything, right? Go in peace. At that point, nothing else mattered in her life. Not the crowd, not her fear, not her poverty. She had been healed, and Jesus himself had sent her away in peace. And so it is for us, right? Our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ can bring us an enduring strength, spiritual healing, and everlasting life beyond this world of persecution and fear, way beyond it, beyond the understanding of this world. And then in verse 49, it says that while Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader, and said, your daughter is dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Don't bother Jesus anymore. Your daughter is dead. I don't know how many of you have ever heard these words that a brother or a sister or a mother or a father or a close family member have passed away. But it's a difficult time that brings out a lot of emotion in our lives, especially for a parent. This has got to be one of the hardest things, if not the hardest thing, to deal with in life. I mean, we're not supposed to outlive our children, amen? But we will all be healed, eternally healed. So they tell Jairus, your daughter is dead, don't bother the teacher anymore, leave him alone. And do you know why that someone was saying don't bother the teacher anymore? Because of his lack of faith. His lack of faith is why he was telling them, don't bother. They may have believed that Jesus could heal them of sickness, right? Everyone's crowding on him, wanting him to heal their sickness, right? They may have believed that, but believing that he was going to raise someone from the dead, that was a whole nother level of faith. That was a whole nother level of faith. And apparently this messenger had not reached that level. He was saying, don't bother the Savior with this. He can't help you. Has Satan ever done that to you? Right? Satan ever said, don't bother Jesus with that. He's trying to save the world. He don't have time for you. Amen? Where's my picture at? There he is. Telling him, don't bother Jesus right now, right? Don't bother him with your little problems. Those are just lies of the devil. Amen? Those are lies of the devil. Don't ever think that Jesus doesn't care about every little thing in your life. Every little thing, every big thing, anything in your life that you're going through. It makes no difference if it's a cold or cancer. If it is God's will, you will be healed. Because of your faith in him, you will be healed. He will heal you, but we have to bring it all to the cross. We have to believe. We have to believe. And so in front of Jesus, they say, in front of Jesus, okay? They say, don't bother the teacher anymore. And Jesus says in verse 50, he tells Jairus, he says, don't be afraid. Don't listen to this guy. Just believe and your daughter will be healed. Jesus is saying, you came here with the determination and the faith to be healed. Don't lose that now just because of what this guy's saying. Don't be afraid. Let's keep moving on. Let's go see your daughter. And in verse 51, when they arrived at the house of Jairus, he didn't let anyone in except Peter, John, and James, and the children's parents. Amen? Those are the only people he let in. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. Stop wailing, Jesus said. She is not dead, but asleep. Love that. They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. So these people, they were wailing outside. Remember, most of them were probably paid mourners, okay? People with money would hire these professional mourners to cry and weep after their loved ones passed. It was a sign of respect and honor for those who had passed away. So if they could afford it, they would hire these mourners, okay? But notice when Jesus gets there, he tells the people other than his closest disciples that they have to leave. He doesn't want that negativity. He doesn't, what's he going to do, right? He's going to bring her back to life. Amen? So Jesus wanted nothing to do with these people that didn't believe in his promises. Amen? He sent them away so that they wouldn't discourage the family. Because the family believed, Jairus believed. So the family believes he's going to heal her. So he sends these people away. And in verse 54, he takes her by the hand. It says he takes her by the hand and says, "My child, get up. My child, get up." And her spirit returned at once, and she stood up. This is exactly what the opposite of what happens when we die. When we die, our spirit leaves us. Amen? But her spirit had returned to her. Her spirit returned. Only Jesus can do that. Because he is God. Amen? Because he is God. Only Jesus. Then Jesus tells them, give her something to eat. Now give her something to eat. He's always feeding everybody, right? Amen? Amen? He didn't only do this for the good of the girl, for the nourishment of the girl, but also for her mother. Kind of take her mind off of what just happened, right? She's alive. She's well. You know, give her some food. Feed her, you know? Jesus was always feeding those who were hungry. And if we were just came back from the dead, we'd probably be hungry too, right? I mean, I'm pretty sure we would be, right? I mean, look how hungry we are just when we wake up, right? Just think of coming back from the dead. But as he did this, in verse 56, it says that her parents were astonished. They were amazed, of course, right? He had brought her back to life. But he ordered them, this time he orders them, don't tell anyone. He says, don't tell anyone. Which is the opposite of what he told the demon-possessed man. Remember when he healed the demon-possessed man? He said, don't follow me. Go and tell your people what we've done for you here today, for the healing that I've given you. The reason that he's telling them not to say anything now is because he's back in Jewish territory again. You know, they already know. He's in danger once again. Okay? And he's got a mission, right? He's got a mission. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what he's doing. He tells them, don't tell anyone. So last week, Jesus exercises his authority over demon possession, right? And this week, he exercises his authority over sickness and death. Our sovereign Lord, amen? Over everything. Romans 4:17 says, God gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Nothing impossible for God. Amen? Nothing. Because of the faith of Jairus, Jesus spoke to this girl with the power of God, and she was healed. She was healed because of the faith of the woman subject to bleeding. Jesus' power would heal her as well. You see, it's our faith that brings true healing to our lives. It's our faith. Whether in this life or eternally in the next, it'll bring us healing. There was a young Colombian girl who received a New Testament in her school one day. And so she read the New Testament. And one day, she kept reading the New Testament. One day her father caught her reading it. And he told her not to read it anymore because it was full of lies and full of fantasy. Obviously, he wasn't a believer. But the girl kept on reading until one day her father came home unexpectedly and found her with the New Testament, and he grabbed it from her and he put it in his pocket. The father went off to work where he was a mining engineer. Several hours later, sirens went off in the community. There had been a cave-in at the mine. There was a cave-in at the mine. And the father was trapped in the mine, and the rescue workers took 5 days to finally reach these men that were trapped in the mine. And but it was too late. All 31 of the men had died. All 31 of the men had died, including the father of this little girl. And curiously, workers found the man clutching the New Testament in his praying hands. He was clutching the New Testament. in his praying hands. And when they opened the front cover, they read a note that said, "To my daughter, keep reading this New Testament. It is true and right, and I will see you one day in heaven." Right? Amen? "I will see you one day in heaven." That's not the end of the story, though. When they turned to the back page, where the father had signed a commitment card after saying the sinner's prayer, they found his signature there, right? On the commitment card after sinner's prayer. But that's not the end of the story either. Because turning the next page, there was the names of the other 30 workers. They had all signed the commitment page and said the sinner's prayer before they passed. Amen? Amen. You see, their faith saved them as well, right? Their faith saved them eternally. And so it is with us. Amen? Sola fide, by faith alone. Amen? By faith alone. So let us, in faith, recite the sinner's prayer together. Amen? The prayer that we can never say too many times. Okay? Amen. Let's do this together. Heavenly Father, I come to you in prayer, asking for the forgiveness of my sins. I confess with my mouth and believe with my heart that Jesus is your Son and that he died on the cross at Calvary, that I might be forgiven and have eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. Father, I believe that Jesus rose from the dead, and I ask you right now to come into my life and be my personal Lord and Savior. I repent of my sins and will worship you all the days of my life because your word is true. I confess with my mouth that I am born again and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you all said that prayer and you believe every word, then congratulations. Amen. Your faith has healed you and your sins have been forgiven and you are saved. Peace be with you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right.